Amen. You know, it's sometimes good to remind ourselves that despite the season and the cheer, real or imagined, life goes on and people still face a lot of stuff. As years come to an end and new years begin and things, real life just doesn't stop. And you may be here this morning in the middle of something, and we just want to take a moment this morning, even with that music, just to take a rest, catch our breath, and understand that God's still at work, that we don't put life on pause in this season. Before we go to the Word, would you just bow with me in prayer? And Father, where we recognize needs in our lives that require your intervention, we ask and we seek and we knock. And for any who are here who feel some dissonance with the cheer and the joy and the celebration of the season, would you meet them and encourage them today? And for all of us, Lord, would you just please incline our hearts towards you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. What scares you? What scares you? I think of the different fears I've had through my life, and they've changed as I've gone through my life. My earliest fears happened when I was a young child, and I would get a fever, and when I would get a fever, I would get delirious. I would hallucinate. I'd see all kinds of crazy, scary things. I remember one today just as vivid as back in the day. I was lying in my bed, sweating and in a fever, and there was a scary guy over my door. And I thought he was coming to get me. And the only way out was through that door. And I remember taking a risk. I thought I was risking my life to jump up and run through that door and downstairs and jump to my parents' bed to the place of safety. I remember being so terrified at that moment. I remember the scariest thing my mother ever said to me, where she said many times, "Go to your room until your dad gets home." Those were scary minutes and sometimes scary hours. Or when Dad was home and my brothers and I were misbehaving, he would say the terrifying words, "Go get the strap." That was terrible. Terrible punishment, bringing the strap. Some of you recall the movie A Thief in the Night. It came out in the early 70s when I was an elementary student. I remember lying in bed at night, absolutely terrified that I was going to be left behind. That Jesus was going to come back and all those people would leave and I would be just stuck there by myself. I remember in my teen years camping out under the stars for the very first time. Paddled way out down this lake and set up kind of under my canoe, snuggled up to my gun. But every little bit of rustling in the trees and the grass sounded like a Sasquatch or something. I didn't know what it was. I'm sure they're just mice and squirrels. But it was a very sleepless night. I remember one Christmas, between Christmas and New Year's, the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, my brother Dean had just been come home from some very serious heart surgery. They discovered his aorta was ballooning. They replaced his aorta, fixed that up. But we were sitting around on a Sunday night watching, I still remember, the $6 Million Man. Halfway through the show, and my brother Dean said, "Oh, my head," and he fell over and stopped breathing. And he'd had an aneurysm, and that started a series of events and an ordeal that in some ways it continues to this day. That was a scary, scary night. In addition to those fears I've faced at different times in my life, very real, fear of failure. Just being absolutely terrified of failing at something. Fear of crowds in different places. Fear of being in a new place. And then the greatest fear, I'm not sure if it's a fear or a driver or if it's really both, the greatest fear, the fear of entering eternity and discovering that my life hasn't mattered in light of eternity, that nothing of significance has been accomplished that would continue beyond my life. That is probably my greatest driver slash fear. What are you afraid of? What are your fears? The most oft-repeated command in Scripture is the command, "Fear not." Don't be afraid. It shows up again and again and again Old Testament, New Testament. And I think the reason why it shows up so much is because there's a lot to be afraid of. There's a lot of opportunities for fear to enter our hearts and begin to control us and to direct us. Psychologist by the name of John Collard, Institute of Human Relations at Yale University, described 7 kinds of common fears. And all of us have one or more of these rotating through our hearts and our minds at different times. Fear of failure. Fear of sex. Fear of self-defense. Fear of trusting others. Fear of thinking. Fear of speaking. Fear of being alone. Now, he unpacked each of those fears, but that fifth one, the fear of thinking, is kind of intriguing, isn't it? He says, not only is it hard work to think, but many people fear the activity itself. They are docile and obedient and easily follow suggestions put forward by others because it saves them the labor of thinking for themselves. They become dependent on others for hard work and fly to a protector when in difficulty. And of course, our connected world and our phones and our internet make it really easy to not think. Just allow thoughts to be projected into our hearts and our minds. We're continuing our series today that began 2 weeks ago with the call, "O come all ye stressful," where we heard the call of Jesus to come with our very real stresses and see what he could do about them. Last week was, "O come all ye doubtful." Just to be honest before God that we don't have it all figured out, that we've got some doubts and it's okay and we can tell them about him. Christmas Eve in a couple of days it will be, "O come all ye hopeful," but today the call is, "O come all ye fearful." To identify your fear and bring them into the context and bring them into the Christmas story and bring them to Jesus and see what can happen. If you look at fear and think about fear, there's really 2 broad categories of fear. 2 ways of breaking it down. There is the fear of death and all that surrounds death. You know, the approach of death, death itself, what comes after. There's the fear of death, and then there's all the fears of life. Things that happen in life that might not kill you, but they scare you. And they get your pulse up and they get your stress level to go. The fear of death and the fears of life, the 2 broad categories of fear. Fortunately, the Bible addresses both. The story of a man, car accident, unconscious. He's being carried to a nearby gas station, good old Shell station. But as they were carrying along, he started jumping and fighting and ripping and trying to get out of, you know, get out of the arms of the people who were carrying him. And they finally settled him down, and he explained what the situation was. He'd been unconscious. When he woke up, he saw the gas station sign, but in his line of vision, someone was standing in front of the S. And so he was in a state of panic. Fear of death. Fear of death and what comes after really is the mother of all fears. It is the primary fear. In fact, if you can deal with the fear of death and what comes after, a lot of the other fears either disappear or they're in some way diminished. I'm sure you know you've heard the comment that it's, you know, people are more scared of speaking in public than of dying. Well, yeah, I don't think so. If we were to, you know, put a gun to your head right now and said, "Die or come up here and preach," you'd preach. Fear of death is the fear. It's the fear from which all other fears in some way really seem to flow. And so it's kind of surprising when you look at the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12, how Jesus deals with the issue of death. He says this, Luke chapter 12, verse 4. "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after your body's been killed has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." Words of Jesus. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. Isn't that quite amazing? He's saying, if the worst that somebody can do to you is kill you, nothing to be afraid of. That's amazing. That he just kind of writes off the fear of death. Psalm 56 is much the same thing. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "When I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Well, mere mortals can kill you. But Jesus said, and Scripture says, don't be afraid of those who only have power over your physical body. How can he be so flippant, so casual in talking about death? Because he knew what was coming. He knew that he was going to face death, he was going to overcome death, and so all of his people would ultimately overcome death. Because he knew he was going to get up, he knew we could get up too. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the great chapters explaining the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 says, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep." Then it goes on in verse 50, "I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we'll all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" You know, it's kind of a poetic passage. And it ends with these words here, these questions. Where's your victory, death? Where's your sting? And what you need to understand, as poetic as it's sounding, you know what he's doing here? He's mocking death. He's mocking death. He's looking death in the face and spitting in its eye and saying, "You've got nothing on us, death. Because Jesus got up. You have no more power over us, no more victory over us." The truth is, friends, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's like it defangs death. It proves that his death was sufficient. It proves he was who he said he was. And when he got up, we know as God's people that we don't need to fear death if we are his. Those who receive Jesus are free from the lasting power of death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. You know, we've all done wrong things, and the net result of that is that we will one day die physically and spiritually, except for the gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Have you received the gift? We overcome the fear of death by receiving the gift of life. Have you received the gift of life? Again, this is the way to overcome that big fear, to have the fear of death addressed by the sacrifice of Jesus, by his death, by his resurrection, by his victory over death. How do you receive this? Number one, admit you need it. Admit you've done wrong, that you need forgiveness. Turn from that wrongdoing to follow him and accept that Jesus died for you. Very simple. Simple little prayer. As I often say when I share these kinds of prayers, it's not the words, it's the intent and inclination of the heart. Where if you're in a place where you could sign off on this, that's what it means to respond to receive God's gift. "Dear Lord, I admit I've done many things wrong. I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness." Most people can get that far. Most people, when pushed, will go that far. They will admit that they've done wrong things. "I turn from those wrong things to you. I believe Jesus died for me to pay the price for my sins, and I trust in his death for my forgiveness. Please come in and take over my life." Scripture says that he who has the Son has life. That if you repent of your sins, put your faith in Jesus, you have life. That's why Jesus came. In fact, let's flip to the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, and just see how that interfaces with this idea of the fear of death. Luke chapter 2, well-known words, verse 8, says, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, here it is again, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Don't be afraid, the angel said, a Savior's been born. Now that was relevant to those shepherds because they were terrified in the moment of those angels. But that's relevant to us today. Don't be afraid, a Savior has been born. And because a Savior has been born and has since died and risen, we don't need to be afraid. The fear of death has been completely 100% dealt with. That's the point of Christmas. It set up the progression. His birth led to his life, led to his death, led to his resurrection, which led to our life and our resurrection. The birth was really the first physical sign of that progression happening when Jesus showed up in that way. Jesus was born so he could die, so he could rise, so we could live. That's really what Christmas is. That's why Christmas is significant. It's not just as big deal as it was for God to become fully human. That's a big deal. But he became fully human so he could pay the price for us. So his death would be sufficient for all the wrong things you and I could ever do. Ever. So how do you overcome the fear of death? You overcome the fear of death by receiving the gift of life through Jesus. Have you done that? Don't go through another Christmas if you've never done that, because that is the point of the season. Now, once you've faced the fear of death, you're ready to then address the fears of life. In fact, the biblical solutions to the fears of life kind of assume you've already dealt with the fear of death. That there's really no great answer to the fears of life until you've taken the fear of death off the table. And once you've done that, you can then begin to deal with the fears of life. There's about 70, I think, instances of that command, fear not. And when you read them through, there's one dominant reason given why not to fear. Let me read some of those verses for you. See if you can figure out what the reason is. Numbers 14. Don't fear the people of the land because the Lord is with us. Deuteronomy 31. Don't fear them. The Lord is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. King David to his son Solomon. Don't be afraid, for the Lord is with you. He will not fail or forsake you. Psalm 23. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Isaiah 41. I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Chapter 43 of Isaiah. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. The primary reason given why we don't need to fear in life is the very simple idea that God is with us. That if we are His, God is with us. What does that mean? What does it mean that God's with us? How does that change anything? Well, some other verses through Scripture that talk about what it means when God is with you. Book of Exodus. People going into the promised land. Moses said to the people as the armies drew near, we will see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you. 1 Samuel, the Lord will not abandon his people. Book of Haggai, I am with you. My spirit is abiding in your midst. Zechariah, I have good things planned for you. I will save you so that you may become a blessing. You know, one of the most common unnecessary prayers we pray as Christians is for God to be with us. Because he is. He indwells us by His Spirit. He has promised He will never leave us or forsake us. And so we don't really so much need to ask Him to be present with us. It's to recognize His presence and thank Him for His presence. And so when you dig into it, when God says, I'm with you, He's not just saying, I'm kind of passively, I'm in the neighborhood. I'm just kind of hanging around. That's not what he's saying. When God says he's with you, he means, I will fight for you, I will provide for you, I will empower you, I will give you what you need to do whatever I'm calling you to do. John Piper has the five pillars of fearlessness. God is with me, God is my God, God will strengthen me, God will help me, God will uphold me. You can face the fears of life when you know that God is with you and God is for you. If you're His child, He's with you. He indwells you by His Spirit. And we're not just talking about a big, strong person. We're not just talking about someone who's super smart. We're talking about the Creator and Sustainer of the universe has promised to walk with you through life, through death, into eternity. That's why the Apostle Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 15, "Where, O death, is your victory?" If you're His child, God is with you. And that's why we worship, among other things. Worship, focusing our eyes on God, who He is, reminds us who is with us, who has our back, and who is walking with us. Several years ago, it was actually at this time of the year, we got an email from someone we hadn't heard from for many, many years. The email is just a thank you to Christian and I for walking with this person through some really big fears. This person was just consumed with fears for years, and they walked through it. We saw God do some great things. And they said, "God placed healing within my reach and delivered me through my fears, as well as leading me to a life on the other side of fear." And then this person kind of cut and pasted a devotional. Devotional from a fellow named Phil Ware. And this is the devotional. It's a Christmas devotional. It says, as the Gospel of Mark tells the story of Jesus, the Holy Spirit blatantly challenges us to open our eyes to Jesus. Gospel of Mark and the Gospels, Jesus in staccato fashion demonstrates that He not only has an answer to each of these primal fears, He has absolute authority over them. He calms deadly storms on the sea. He easily conquers uncontrollable, undefeatable demons. His touch delivers from diseases no physician can cure. He tenderly plunders death's pain and steals away grief's grip by robbing the grave of its goal. We know that Jesus can handle what we most fear. More than just knowing about His victorious power, we also realize He will join us as we go through the horrors of facing these fearsome foes. He is not a distant power, but one who comes to the middle of our storms. We know that in those times when it appears His power has not been available for us, He has brought deliverance despite all appearances. How so? He is the powerful one. And He, the powerful one, allowed Himself to be crucified. And why? To show that some deliverance is not from what we fear, but through it. Jesus chose to enter our world and die like us, so that we could always know He's not absent or immune to our most terrifying fears or bewildering experiences. And then this devotional quotes from Christmas Carol, Hark the Herald. It says, "Mild He lays His glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's why Jesus came. So God could be with us in every way, facing every fear, every situation. Let me ask, is God with you? Is God with you? He desperately wants to be. Born that man no more may die, He overcomes the fear of death. Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us for all the fears of life. The call today is, O come, all ye fearful. Maybe that's you today. Maybe that'll be you tomorrow. O come, all ye fearful. Don't be afraid. A Savior has been born. That's the point of the season. Would you please stand with me as we pray?